This morning, I'd like to invite you to the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 26. Romans, chapter 11, verse 26. Romans 11, verse 26 reads this way. It says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are the enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are the beloved for the Father's sakes." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of being able to gather into your house and to open your word. And Lord, we ask your blessing on your word, on your people, on our hearts and minds, that you would open up our understanding, Lord, that we might worship you in the power of your Holy Spirit, that you might be highly exalted in our lives, drawn closer to you and empowered to honor and glorify you. Lord, bless your word, bless your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Beloved for the Father's Sake. Beloved for the Father's, really it's plural, sakes, right? And so God has a lot of reasons, I don't understand them all, to love his people. That's a good thing. I don't understand that, and I don't even know if I'll understand that in heaven. Don't you imagine we'll be there and say, boy, I mean, surely we know the love of God, and we'll be in his very presence, but why we are there will be a mystery that only God, I mean, I know he loves us, don't get me wrong, but tell me why. I don't know why, but yeah, he created us, but I still, we're not very lovable people. Without God, we're kind of a arrogant, self-centered on ourselves. Listen, look at the world, and you will see what we are without the Lord Jesus Christ. What we were, we all were in that place. We all were that type of people. Let me ask you a question. Well, let me just give you the thoughts this morning, three thoughts. God's salvation is on purpose and with purpose. God's salvation is on purpose and with purpose. Secondly, God's love toward his own is unchanging. That's powerful. And then the depths of God's mercy and his love towards all. He loves all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and to come to know him. But let me ask you an important question. Maybe I'll make a statement first, right? Listen. A good message requires the work of the Holy Spirit to be heard. Jesus Christ said, "I'm going to destroy this temple and rebuild it again in the third day." There were a lot of people that heard that, but they thought they didn't understand the truth. Here's what they thought. They thought that he was talking about the physical temple that he was by, but he implied and he didn't say it to be misunderstood. The problem was the distance of the heart that was hearing it thought he was talking about the physical temple and missed the real truth that he was talking about his resurrection. Listen, the disciples that accompanied with the Lord all the while misunderstood some things. And listen, can anyone preach a better message than the Lord Jesus Christ that is filled with power and the Holy Spirit, and yet that truth is missed? Let me ask you this morning with that thought in mind. And by the way, listen, we are all on the same side. We are all on the same side. My heart's desire is to have more understanding of the salvation that God has given to me personally. And I am convinced that that ought to be the heart and mind of every child of God that is seeking to honor and glorify the Lord, is that we might know more about him. So listen, I am not your judge. I am simply the Lord's preacher. That's it. I am giving you the message, but listen, it will come to no fruition if we are on our own. If we're leaning to our own understanding, our own thinking, we're going to miss the Lord. You can hear the truth. You can be in the presence of the truth and miss the Lord. Don't misunderstand. I am not performing. I am not trying to impress you one bit. I'm here to proclaim the Word of God.
The position of your heart before the Lord will determine what you hear and what you receive. If you're just hearing me, you've missed the Lord. If you're not hearing anything that has to do with your personal relationship with God, then you've missed God. And really, just chalk off another sermon, but you've missed it, and expect no change out of that. I'm not trying to... Listen, the greatest thing that you can ever receive this morning is a word from the Lord personally to you that will revolutionize and change your life. Now, let's just... We discussed a little bit in the Sunday school hour, in the men's class, about persecution, just for a brief moment. And we were talking about Stephen, if you'll remember, one of the first deacons. And boy, did he stand for the Lord, didn't he? And here was the conversation. And it's not wrong. I thought, boy, will I stand? Will I stand if I'm persecuted? Well, to be quite upfront with you, we're looking at the wrong person. If we're asking, will I stand, then you won't. You won't stand because you're looking at the wrong person. If will I, you're questioning whether or not you will have the ability to stand. We have no ability when it comes to the things of God. What you'll take note of is the Bible says that Stephen, before he ever spoke, before he was ever persecuted, was full of power and of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says about, listen, so the pursuit is to have the power of God and the power of the indwelling Spirit active in the life of the believer. I promise us this, listen, and hear me clearly on this and tell me this is not so. If God is not bringing you to victory, it probably is because you're not asking Him for it. Listen, if you're not experiencing God delivering you today from your sins, I didn't say sinless perfection, but if God's not making you any different than the world, if you're going after what the world is going after, mark it down. If persecution hits this continent here, this America, United States, we won't stand. Because we've not found the Lord or His power. I didn't say you weren't saved. But we won't have His power. We've misunderstood God. I was telling the men's class across the pond over in Britain. There was a lady in front of an abortion clinic who's been doing that for 20 years. And she was approached by the police. Maybe you saw it. Look it up. And there she was just standing in front of the, across the street, standing there at, in front of the abortion clinic. So they knew her reputation. They knew that she prayed for the sparing of the children that were being slaughtered. And so the police approached her and said, "What are you doing here?" And I forget exactly what her answer was, but you can listen to it. And they asked her if she was praying. And she said, "I might be praying in my mind." "Well, then will you come with us?" And she said, "Well, since you're asking me, I don't want to go." She said, and they said, "Fine, three or so policemen, then you're arrested." And they took her in for praying in front of an abortion clinic. And listen, if it's starting across the pond, and by the way, are Christians not being persecuted in other countries? And let me give you a little reminder of what you already know. It just takes one leader to rise up and condemn a group of people, and things will get spinning and rolling down a hill very quickly. Just ask the Jews in Germany how long it took. They would not believe that it could possibly happen in their country they grew up in. Listen, regardless of the persecution or whatever may come, does God not want His people to stand today? And by the way, do you know what that means really? A closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not for fear, but because we've been favored in the sight of God to walk with Him and to experience His grace. Not because something bad's going to happen, but because of what good has already happened in your life and mine that we ought to be pursuing the love of God. The love of God comes from Him. The victory in Jesus, well, pray tell, where will we find it? If not in Jesus. It does. The song does say victory in Jesus. It does not say victory in my hopes, in my dreams. It's in Jesus. And if it's in Jesus, the Bible says it's a sure thing. Because He has already promised it. Are you hoping you're going to get to heaven? Well, that was maybe half of us. Are you hoping you're going to get to heaven, or do you know? Amen. You know why? Because He already gave it to you. And if He's given to us His Son, will He not freely give us all good things? All the things to honor and glorify Him? So let me ask you this question this morning. Have you come to receive from God something that you need? Here's a question. What do you need from God? What do you need from God? Oh, please, I hope you're saying more faith. More light of truth. Oh, please, God, more important than anything else, that I might be filled with Your power to honor and glorify, that You might glorify Yourself in and through my life. Boy, the natural mind starts thinking about my bills, this, that, that's passing away. And God cares about those things. But you know what He said? If you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, you get the rest. You see, listen, we are distracted. We spend more time, and I'm not condemning this. We spend more time distracted than seeking God. We are so filled up of the things of this world. You don't understand what I got to do. You tell me that when we step before the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. You tell me what was really needed in this life that's all perishing. I'm not saying that you're to be irresponsible. God's not saying that either. But how important is our God? If you've got an important appointment to you at 5 in the morning, will you make it? Will you make it? How much more important is our relationship with the Lord? I'm not scolding us. I'm just telling us we're asking for things that I don't know that we really want. We say we want more of God, but are we willing to sacrifice a little bit of sleep to get alone with the Lord for about 10, 15 minutes and let Him take it from there? I'm not telling you to do it for an hour, get up an hour early. Get up 15 minutes early. Get up 10, whatever you want. And then ask God to grow it. How do you think Stephen was full of power, God's power, and of the Holy Spirit? God gave it to him. Why? I would tend to say he asked for it. And then you know what? Listen, Brother John Smith mentioned that was, the longest message recorded in the New Testament. 60 verses, right, Brother? Or at least somewhere, the whole chapter was about 60 verses there. I think it was one of the longest ones. Do you think he had that written down? Do you think he was worried about what he was going to say? God gave it to him. And God will give you, didn't he say you don't have to worry about what you're going to answer? God's going to give you what you need to say, and no one's going to be able to say against it. But let me ask you this morning, why are you here? I've asked that before. Why are you here? Are you here to hear something from the Lord? Or are you here just to hear a sermon and just to appease your conscience because you're doing the right thing? You're going to miss the Lord on that. You can be right in the very presence of God and misunderstand everything that's said. When the Lord told Peter that he was going to go to the cross, and he took the Lord turned away from him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be what? Of Satan, of the world, of things that are temporal. You've missed the whole purpose of the Savior and the sacrifice. And we can miss it as well. All right, very quickly, take note here. Ready? Verse 26, God's salvation is on purpose and with a purpose. Notice what takes place here. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Isn't that good? Now remember, the Bible also says not all that are of Israel are of Israel. those are the ones that believe in faith. Those are the Israel, right? That's the true Israel. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's in the Old Testament. It's going to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Isn't that amazing that the deliverer is from Jacob, not Esau? Isn't it amazing that the promised seed came from Isaac, not Ishmael? Ishmael is what we can do. Isaac, only God. Only God can do. The blessings of God are found by faith, not by the flesh. We'll never find them. And so, listen, salvation is the very beginning. Do you remember what Paul said to the believers who were saved? Was the Corinthian church saved? Yeah, they were saved. And remember what Paul said when he came back to them, says, boy, listen, I still have to give you milk. You should be eating meat now. But you're still on the milk. Were they all saved? Question, were they missing God? Yeah, they were. Were they hearing the word? Yeah. Oh, they were hearing the word. Apollos, Peter, they were Cephas. Oh, they were hearing it. And Paul. They were hearing it. But they were still on the milk. As God looks at our lives, possibly, can we still be on the milk? See, are we allowing the Lord to deliver us and turn us away from what God says is ungodliness? Or are we so given to the things of this world that we just have to do this and we just have to watch that and we just have to say this and we just have to give people a piece of our mind? Listen, if we're giving people a piece of our mind, mark it down, it's not the Holy Spirit. Listen, if I am in the flesh, I know it. I know it's not the Spirit of God. But if we're not concerned, if we're not interested in those things, then it's just going to just we're just passing time. It's like being on a football team or whatever athletic team you want to be on and sitting on the sidelines. You're not participating. There's no fun in sitting on the sidelines. It's like people picking teams and you're the last person to be picked. You ever have that happen? Don't admit it. And if not, you ought to try it. It's not fun. It's like, man, can I just hide somewhere? Can I just go somewhere else? It's not a good experience. I wonder what it's going to be like when we stand before the Lord and come to find out that our whole life was sitting on the bench instead of working for Him and involved in His will on earth as it is in heaven. It is only God who can take away our sins. Look at verse 27. For this is my covenant. Whose covenant? God's. Unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Only God can take away our sins. We are loved for the Father's sakes here in verse 28. And look, as concerning the gospel, the word of truth, they are enemies for your sakes. These are the ones who've rejected. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. And again, I'm just going to tell you, God saw in eternity past who are His. He's not willing that any should perish, but in eternity past, He knew who's going to make the choice. I cannot tell you why we're still here, why we're running the race, but I do tell you, I can tell you this. God said, you'll honor me and you'll glorify me for the salvation I've given to you if you'll seek me. And you'll walk with me. You'll experience my protection. You'll experience my provision. You'll experience my guidance. You'll experience more than anything else. You'll experience my love that's unchanging. You'll experience my peace that the world knows nothing and will never know anything about the peace of God that passes understanding. That's for us. But listen, we can miss that. We could be hearing the truth and missing the peace of God that settles our hearts and our minds. Secondly, God's love toward His own is unchanging. Look at verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. No, He doesn't change His mind on that. By the way, listen. Where do the gifts and the calling come from? And He doesn't even change His mind. Didn't He say, if you'll ask me, I'll give it to you? Why did the Lord tell his disciples that if a son is asking for bread or for food, is he going to give him a rock or a serpent? And then he said, how much more will he give them the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Speaking of his children. You know what it means? We have to ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Just because, listen, we're indwelt, that seals our eternal life. But is the power of God, do you see Jesus coming out of you? We're too busy trying to do the right thing and not allowing the right one to work through us. That, listen, is that a foreign concept? Because read the scriptures and tell me it's not true. It is the Spirit of God that empowers our lives. He's the paraclete that comes alongside and helps us because we can't. Eric Little, I don't know if you remember him. He's the guy in the early 1900s. I can't remember if it was Scotland or Britain. They wanted him to go into the Olympics, and he was working for the 100-meter run, right? And they said, congratulations! He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. His parents were missionaries, to China, and he wanted to go back there when he got older. He was sent back to Britain to go to school, and they said, congratulations, you've been elected to run the 100-meter for the Olympics. I think it was the one in the 1920s or maybe earlier than that. I'm not sure. And what happened? That event was on Sunday. Do you know what he said? Not going to do it. Do you know his country called him a traitor and all kinds of unkind names? Because to them, the Olympics were more important than his God. He said, how can I do this against my God who's been so faithful to me? And then he cried out. He said, Lord, look what they're saying about me. Oh, God, what do I do? Listen, this was not all in his own making. God, please, that you might be honored and glorified. He went to bed that night only to hear a friend knocking outside and hollering and all excited. Now, he was running for the 100-meter. That's what he was practicing for, and he was fast and good at it. You've been elected to run the 200-meter, and it won't be on the Lord's day. Yeah, I've never done that, Lord. And here was his motto. Ready? I'll give it the first half, Lord. You give me the rest. I will give you the first half, Lord. You finish it. Basically, what he's saying is, I'll do it. You've got to finish it. So they put him in the 200-meter run. Guess what happened? He won. He beat everybody. Then they gave him the 400. Guess what happened there? He won. Wow. That was in the early 1900s, but God's done today. God won't do that. No, see, he was willing to put God first. I don't know if we know what that means anymore. You're here this morning, and I praise God for that. I praise the Lord for that. Listen, I owe God that your people would see the importance of being in your house to worship you. That's my prayer. Do I not pray that? You not hear me pray that in the car? Maybe they're sleeping. I don't know. No, they're not. They're not. I'm kidding. They're not sleeping. I'm teasing. So here's the whole thing. Listen, the things we do, who are we doing them for? And by the way, are we doing God any favors? Or are we asking him for favor? Do you see the difference? What is the purpose of man? What is the whole purpose of man? Do we really believe that? That it's to glorify the Lord? That it's to serve him? Then if he's all important, the biblical example is to get up early and seek the Lord in prayer. I'm not telling you an hour, a half hour. I'm not putting it. God didn't put any time on it. Just seek the Lord. Whatever it is. God, you are important today. I need you. If there ever comes a time, listen, forget about the persecution, but to stand for God. When somebody asks us a question of the hope that's within us, are we ready with the answer? We never will be if we're not seeking the Lord on a daily basis. Stephen would have never stood the way he did if he wasn't already filled with the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if he was filled with the power of God, if he was filled with the Holy Spirit, do you think he was walking in failure? Or do you think God was giving him the victory? Listen, Stephen would be the first one to tell you he wasn't perfect, but he did see the Lord in his life. Was that not displayed when he spoke to those people? And they were convicted. They gnashed on him with their teeth. That's like they were so angry, they were gnashing their teeth and they stoned him. And in the midst of it all, do you think he was filled with himself or with the Holy Spirit? When he said just before he died, don't lay this to their charge. Isn't that amazing? God's love toward his own is unchanging. You've got an open door with him. In fact, here's the truth. Ready? You've just not been hearing it. Listen. On the Lord. Do you know who that is? That's the Lord. Where's he knocking? You think he's quit knocking? His love's unchanging. You think he's forgotten? His son, the one who gave his life for us, is right there. He's not forgotten. The Bible says many, innumerable are the thoughts of God toward you and I, the redeemed. He thinks about us. My daughter is getting ready to get married. She didn't know she was going to be in the message this morning. I didn't either. You know, the craziest thing, I don't understand it. I'll ask her how Joe's doing, and she'll go, who? What? No, that's not what happens. She knows exactly how he's doing. In fact, I think her cell phone has now become connected to her somehow. She doesn't go anywhere without that. Why? She might get a phone call. Or she might need to make a phone call. And boy, I tell you what. She talks a little bit now about him. Just a little bit. Why does she talk? Why is that all she talks about? Because there's a desire there. There's a relationship there. And that's what God intended. But not just with our spouse, but with him. What she is getting involved in right now and growing in is just a little taste of what God wants to have with us. But if it's not there, I promise you, if she stopped answering her phone, she might grow a little bit cold. I don't think she thinks it's possible, but if it were possible for her not to answer her phone for a week, do you think Joe might misunderstand something? Do you think he might think a little bit differently about her love for him? I wonder if we've stopped answering the phone. I wonder if we've stopped calling on the Lord. It's not difficult. It's the Lord who's going to do it all. If it's going to happen at all. All we need to do is be honest with the Lord. Tell him where you blow it. I didn't say if you blow it. I said tell him where you blow it. I blow it. I mess up, but I don't want to live in that. God, deliver me. And I believe that, and you know what? He does. He does deliver me. You ought to be able to see where God delivers you. Do you think the Jews had any idea that they were delivered from the Egyptians that had them backed up against the Red Sea? Do you think they had any idea that they were delivered and the enemy had been destroyed? God can destroy the enemies in our life. I didn't say we wouldn't have conflict and we wouldn't have battles, but God can destroy the enemy and keep him at bay and allow us to flourish for his honor and glory if we'll put our faith in him. And here's the whole thing, Lord. I've just got that little bit of faith. You need to make me full of faith. You've given me enough faith to believe you're real. You've given me enough faith to believe your word. Now, Lord, I'm giving you back that little bit of faith and asking you fulfill your word in me. Fulfill your word in me. Time's getting short, guys, ladies, gentlemen. Time is getting short. What do I mean by that? Our opportunities that we have to do something for God are gone. What do I mean by that? Can you do anything for the Lord yesterday? Why? How about the day before? How about the week before? How about 2022? Can you do anything for the Lord in 2022? It's gone. Are we not seeing that time seems to be going? I mean, my goodness, it's clicking. We're all already in the middle of the first month of 2023. I don't even want to count anymore. God's gifts and calling belong to Him. Then notice this, the correct perspective, it's an obtained mercy, not attained. Look at verse 30 with me, if you will. For as ye in times past have not believed, that's all of us, yet have now what? Your Bible, does it say obtained mercy? Yet have now obtained, not attained, obtained, that means it was given to us, mercy, how? Through their unbelief. God says, okay, I'm turning over to the Gentiles now. Even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. God says, I've not changed. I've changed instruments from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now it was Israel and the temple. Now it's the believer in Jesus Christ. It's always been the believers in Jesus Christ and the church. Now, so why would I be merciful? Why would I be kind? Because God has forgiven me such a debt, an eternal debt. So you think about that the next time somebody makes you angry, what you've been forgiven. Are you going to grab them by the throat and throw them in prison in your heart and mind and hold something against him after what God has forgiven us? That's the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ would have me think of what he's given to me before I get angry and blow up at somebody who's maybe wronged me. Did they wrong the Lord Jesus Christ? And Jesus said, if they hated me first, the world, will they not hate you? But God's not wanting you to try to go ahead and be nice to them. You won't, and I won't do it. But he in us will and can. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. You can fabricate it if you want to. It's going to be a heavy load. You can psych yourself up. But see, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, all of the Spirit is yours. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen. I don't think Stephen was thinking, you know what, they're going to stone me today. Lord, I really got to try to be kind to them. They're going to take my life. I don't even think he was thinking about his life. I think his whole focus was on one person and the glory of God and a hope in his heart that his people, Israel, would receive the truth. And he was getting ready to go home and knew it before he died and said, forgive them. Isn't that amazing? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it. God never intended for us to do it. So he says, verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. And this is what he says here. Oh, the depth of the riches, plural, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You mean I don't have to do it? I would have never thought about it that way, would you? I would have thought, boy, God gave me something, I better give him something back. God says, uh-uh. I've given you something, you're right, eternal life, and I'm going to give you everything else that you need. Who would have ever planned that? You know what we used to do as a kid? Well, I'll treat this time, but you'll treat the next time. We expected it to go back and forth. God never wanted anything. You know why? Let's just read why. Ready? Here's the depths, really, of God's mercy and love to all. Look at verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. That's all of us. That he might have mercy upon who? All. We are all in unbelief. He knows that. Do you think he knew Peter's failures and Thomas and all of them and ours. He's saying, stop looking over there. If you're worried about if you're going to stand or not, I promise you, your focus is wrong. God says, I'll enable you. And I want you to know this. I have that natural tendency to look to myself. That God, even break that. I need the Lord to break that. That I won't look to myself. Ready? Watch this. He says this in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Listen to this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who's known the mind of the Lord? Who knew all of this that was in the mind of God? Only God. Nobody. Or who hath been his counselor? You're going to give God advice? We need his advice. We have nothing to give. In fact, everything that, even the good stuff that we have, is an abomination, is unrighteousness. It's tainted with sin. It's marred. Verse 35. Or who hath first given to him? Have you given to God? God gave you your life. He's the giver first. God gave you your intellect. And shall it be recompensed unto him again? Who's given to him and then that he's going to pay you for it? Listen to this, and we're done. For of him, God, and through him, God, and to him, God, are most things or all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Paul understood that. You read Romans chapter 6, and he says, we can't walk in sin. Grace abounds. Then Romans chapter 7, he says, oh, the things that I would do, I don't do them. The things that I don't want to do, I'm doing those things. The things that I want to do, I'm not doing. Oh, who shall deliver me from his wretched sin? And do you know what he said? I thank God. Now we're able to walk in Romans chapter 8 and being able to see verse 28, that all things work together for good. But we'll never see that. We'll know it. We can hear it. But we won't know it. There's a difference. We can hear the word of God, but if we don't know him like Stephen did, and by the way, God wants us all to be in that. Listen, God's not held anything back from you. He's not favored anybody over anybody. He's not favored anybody over anybody. If you're the redeemed, you are favored. Everything in this book, isn't that amazing? Let's stop and think about it. Everything in this book only belonged to Abraham. That's it. Paul. Isn't that how we look at the Bible? Oh, that was Paul. No, it was the God of Paul. It was the God of Abraham. And it is your God who will make the same difference in our lives. So today, this morning, why'd you come? Do you need anything from the Lord? What do you need from God? I need faith. I do need faith. I have been given faith. I want more. Oh, to be filled. I need more of God's grace. But do I believe I'll get it? I need the Spirit of God that he might bear fruit in my life. Don't just ask for the Holy Spirit. You've got to know what you're asking for. And what you're asking for, believe that you're going to receive it. Isn't that what the Bible says? Or you're just tossed around. Oh, Lord, give me faith in the Holy Spirit. And bless God, I walk no different in my life. Gee, that was really effective. And I say that because I've done it. But I don't want to do it that way. Because the Bible says, you expect me to change you into my likeness and ask me for it and watch what I will give you. Because then when I give it to you, you'll have a reason to praise my name. You'll have a reason to be a peculiar person for the Lord. I'm not saying strange. There's a lot of peculiar people in the world. Okay, not that kind of peculiar, but a spirit-led difference of God in our lives. And that we'll know it. The world's going to see it. The world's going to see it. But more importantly, listen, we'll see it. Before the world will see it. We will see the change that he's making. And then we'll say, oh Lord, not just this, but all of it, Lord, for your glory. Listen, it pleases God to make you and me a testimony to his honor and glory in every area of our life. Do you know it pleases, it will be a testimony of the grace of God in our lives if he will kill the serpent's head in our lives. If he will enable us to love those that are unkind to us. If he will enable us to do everything he's promised in his word to make us the light of the salt of the earth. Do you think Stephen prayed? You think Paul prayed? What was it that Paul said? Something about life. For him to live, what was it? The stock market? For him to live the news? What, for him to live his bank account? For him to live was Christ. And to die is gain. Those are empty words without the Spirit of God. He said those by the Spirit of God. Do you think he meant those? Do you know that God means for you and I to have the same relationship as Paul did with him? Can you fathom that thought? God loves us so much, he did not give anything to Paul other than the calling of being an apostle. But everything Paul experienced from God, God wants you and I to experience. And that's what Paul was talking about to all the believers. When he said to them, you guys ought to be eating the meat now. You're still on the milk. Paul was saying there's a problem. Don't answer this out loud. What are you really, genuinely, listen. If you're not experiencing the changing power of God, and all you're experiencing is your best and your effort to do for God, we're still on the milk. There's only one way to get to the meat, and that's for God to bring us there. Oh God, listen, I hope this is your prayer. I don't want to be a mediocre Christian because you've given me too much. Lord, I don't want to just be a so-so. I don't just want to be what the world accepts. I want to be what you accept. How will that happen? The same thing anything else happens for God. We ask him. We ask him. What did you hear this morning? If you heard from me, then you don't need to do a thing. But if you heard from God, if you've heard from him, is he not worthy? Is he not worthy? Are we just playing church? No, I don't think so. But it's high time now for the sleeping ones to awake. Yes, awake, O sleeper. That's us. That's this generation. We've been sleeping. Wake us up, God. Wake us up that you might make us different. It's God's desire. And all we have to do is one thing. Requires a little bit of faith, and that is to ask God. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Oh God, may you move in the hearts of your people as only you can. Lord, if you're speaking to hearts, may they even move at this time and come, Lord, and glorify your name and call upon you and ask you, oh God, that you would change our lives with your power and grace for your honor and glory and our blessing, that we might have a vibrant and an alive relationship with you like never before. Lord, if there's anyone here that knows you not as Savior, may they realize their need and realize that you paid it all when you died on the cross of Calvary. When you shed your blood, you had finished the work. You started it and you finished it. You paid the price, and all we are the recipients of your grace and love and forgiveness, Lord. Bless each need, Lord. Speak to us as only you can, And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.